31st day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the second day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me two jars of spit and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the third day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me three used bandages, two jars of spit, and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the fourth day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me four stay-put socks, three used bandages, two jars of and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the fifth day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me five golden hairballs, four stay-put socks, three used bandages, two jars of spit, and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the sixth day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me six yaks a-shaven, five golden hairballs, four stay-put socks, three used bandages, two jars of spit, and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the seventh day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me seven logs a-logging, six yaks a-shaven, five golden hairballs, four stay-put socks, three used bandages, 2 yards of spit, and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. On the eighth day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me 8 loaves a-toasting, 7 logs a-logging, 6 yaks a-shaven, 5 golden hairballs, 4 stay-put socks, 3 used bandages, 2 jars of spit, and a nose goblin stuck to a chair. Yuck! On the ninth day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me 9 cobs a-corner, 8 loaves a-toasting, 7 logs a-logging, 6 yaks a-shaving, 5 golden hairballs, 4 stay-put socks, 3 you know what, no I don't, and one of these stuck to one of those. On the 10th day of Yaxmas, cousin Sven, he sent to me
Right on, and welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. You're listening to 101.9 FM out here at the University of British Columbia in the middle of the drizzling, beautiful rainforest. I hope you're all enjoying the weather today. It's kind of an exciting show. Hi, Conrad.
Good to be here, and we've got a very special guest on the show today, someone that I haven't seen in a long, long time. It's one of the notorious local filmmakers.
Troublemakers.
Filmmakers, troublemakers. It's great to have you back in Vancouver. You just got back from Democracy Now! Down in the States. What was that like?
And what's your name?
Oh, yeah. Hi, y'all. My name is Frank Lopez, and I'm kind of new to Vancouver. I've been here for about a year and a half, almost. And, I was hijacked by Amy Goodman and her crew in New York City last April.
Well, now that you've used that word, I'm sure all the government, you can hear all those clicks as they're tuning in. The government wavelengths are all tuning in when you said hijacked. That's exciting. Please continue.
And I worked for them as a television producer because, as a lot of people don't know, Democracy Now! Is also a TV show. I was basically in charge of all the visual elements of the show, cutting all the video, shooting any protests that happen in New York City or any events that happen in New York City, and just basically working myself to death.
What was that like?
It was probably the tightest group of people that I've worked with. People who are definitely not there for the money, who are there to really work hard and give you the best news possible. It's really amazing, the just being there and getting the amount of emails that I got, even with a brand new Frank at democracynow.org email, which, by the way, doesn't work, so don't even try it. But I got like hundreds and hundreds of emails a day, and people really think that, some people think that there's an agenda behind Democracy Now!, and there really isn't. We're just swamped because there's not a lot of like outlets out there that are doing what they do or what we did or what we do.
What kind of emails were you getting?
Oh, my goodness. Anything from, like, why are you not covering 9/11? So why are there no stories about, you know, Dick Cheney flying a plane into the Pentagon, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Because I guess it's a difficult thing, right? You're not dealing with maybe the viewership that, say, Fox News is, that kind of sits there and absorbs it. You're dealing with a group of people who are already largely very articulate and involved in the current events, so they're probably giving you a lot of feedback. Do you think they're giving more feedback than maybe other audiences? Do you think it's a bit of a brave?
I think you might be right. I never really worked on another TV show like this before, but there are so many issues out there. There's so many, especially social justice issues out there, that we can't possibly cover them all. And I think a lot of people get frustrated with us. But it's also part of the frustration is, like I said, there's not a lot of outlets of that. And yeah, I think you're right. I think our audience is a very very educated audience that is actually looking at a lot of issues a lot of times, and they're reading a lot of international media as well. So in a way, they are basically our steering wheel. They're basically letting us know what's going out there, and we follow a lot of leads depending on, you know, a lot of leads that are given to us by actual viewers / listeners.
And you mentioned something about did you go to Lebanon recently, or you did the editing, right?
Yeah, I did not go to Lebanon. What I was saying was that this summer was amazingly intense because, on top of having to cover the war in Iraq, which, you know, one of the things that I took away most about my experience there was that you're not really seeing almost anything of what's really going on in Iraq. We get most of our footage through Reuters, which is a service based in the UK that has stringers, i.e. Freelance videographers all over the world.
Yeah.
And they shoot stuff, and they send all this raw footage via satellite, and that's how a lot of networks like CNN and Fox get their footage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the war in Lebanon started, there was an inordinate amount of footage. One, because they don't have the same problem that they had in Iraq with the insurgents actually killing journalists. Actually, groups like Hezbollah actually welcome journalists so they can see what was going on with the destruction of Beirut and all the suburbs, and most especially like southern Lebanon.
Yeah.
But also, I think that it was a new war, and so there was camera people there like left and right, and we just got huge amounts of footage. And I think, like, for the first part of the summer, that's all I did was Lebanon, just cutting footage every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to be so much because a bombed out building looks like a bombed out building, no matter
where
it
is.
So I kept asking my colleagues, did I just edit this yesterday? But it was new footage every day. It was just
wow. You know. It's interesting what you said about people being welcoming to camera crews. And in my experience, that was kind of the same thing. I lived in the south of Lebanon for a few months. And people, the Lebanese are very sophisticated about media and about using the media to get information out. And I remember people like, really wanting to take me to see, to witness certain places, and understanding that would then be transmitted to a lot of other people, even though I wasn't officially media by any means. I was just there as me. But I found people to be kind of, because they're at a crossroads on the continent and linguistically and historically, it's very interesting to see how they are perhaps in some ways the best place to kind of serve as a gateway or as a mediator between the Middle East as we know it and what you would call Western civilization. I know that's not really the right word to combine with Western, but
yeah.
One of the questions I often get, how does Democracy Now! Get funded?
You know, that's still not particularly clear with me, but from what I saw and the craziness that I saw happen in that very small space was that they have a whole different slew of ways of getting money. Mm-hmm. One of them is actually just selling their content, which you can get their content for free, and you can go as far back as the very first broadcast of Democracy Now! And stream it and even download it from archive.org for free. But some people just prefer to have the DVD or have the audio CD if that was the case. So they sell a lot of that. And then merchandise like T-shirts and hats and coffee mugs. And then Amy Goodman has released 2 books, and she has been selling those as well. So I think part of the proceeds of those books just don't go to her pocket, but also go to... to Democracy Now!
CITR was promoting her last book. It's really good to hear that the money goes to such good causes.
And she was on a lecture tour, too. That probably maybe helps her personally, and then that makes her self-sufficient. I'm curious to know as well how you fund your own projects, because I know, for example, you released a zine on BitTorrent. So that obviously was something that you put together on your own and didn't... I mean, there's not a lot of profit in BitTorrent. So maybe you want to speak a little bit about how you're able to put out some of the things that you do.
Yeah, you know, it's really... Really, I wish I was a businessman, and I wish I knew how to handle money better.
No, you don't.
Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I'm trying to find a smart way to fund my projects, because I really don't have a good formula for that. And for the zine, I was able to actually break even on that by actually selling a paper zine that was photocopied, $10 a piece, doing screenings here and there, and it paid for itself. But you know, I felt that I'm kind of, I don't know, I don't like to like hoard my art or hoard other people's art. So as soon as it broke even, I released it on BitTorrent and let people have it for free. And it was a pretty hefty download, so you know, a lot of people downloaded it, but not as many as I would have thought that would have liked that type of content. So you know, I made marginal money on that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If somebody has a good idea, let me know. But I'm trying not to produce more waste.
So if there's anybody out there listening, you can phone into the station 604 UBC CITR if you would like to produce Franklin's next project. Franklin, I want to know what kind of art you like to make, because you mentioned.
Oh God, I'm a video nerd, and I've been making videos since I was in high school. So I guess that's really the only thing. I can draw a little bit, but I've put all my eggs in that basket. So I VJ'd for almost 10 years in Atlanta, and that kind of put me in the train of acquiring footage that I could use to project onto large surfaces, sites of buildings, clubs, raves, whatever. And that hunger for new stuff, because nobody really makes, or at least back then, nobody really made... stuff for VJing. You know, it's not like you're a DJ, you go to a DJ store and you buy some records and you can spin hip-hop or whatever your style is. With VJing, you kind of have to create your loops and all that stuff. So I kind of developed a hunger for that stuff, and ever since then I've been like a junkie for acquiring rare stuff or stuff that will go with a certain type of music or a certain type of theme. So I guess that's I'm a cut and paste video artist. I guess you can call me that.
I'm sometimes a hacker too. I saw the job you did on the iPod.
Oh yeah,
kind of classic.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe that for people who haven't seen it?
Yeah, that was something that the type of project that I've been wanting to do for a while, where I just spent a lot of time on a very small amount of a very small length project, and this was maybe like a reverse animation, if you may. I took an M&M iPod ad that Apple had put out to promote their iPod, and I erased M&M out of the entire commercial, and then I went and looked for films and war footage from Iraq, and I cut the footage out frame by frame using Photoshop, and I spliced that footage into the iPod ad. So it looks, instead of these dancing silhouettes I usually see on the iPod ads, you see a woman getting shot in close range, or you see a U.S. soldier being blown up by a grenade, or you see Iraqi children being blown up by
bombs. What is the connection?
What is the connection? I think people don't see the connection between consuming and the war, and I think that I didn't like spell it out for people, but I was hoping that they would ask that question, at least maybe not to me, but to themselves, or try to see, like, why is the iPod in Iraq? It's not just this cool mashup stuff that this guy mm-hmm. made. It's we're there because we're running out of resources, i.e. oil, and, you know, the oil basically makes the iPod, you know, and maybe it's not as simple as A, B, C, but in the end, that's mm-hmm. that's the equation, right?
Mm-hmm. We recently did a piece called The Church of Pointless Consumerism that opened last week. It was on a similar note, make the link between the consumerist lifestyle and the consequences in the environment, social problems such as wars, and it did really, really well. We sold out three nights in a row, standing room only.
That is amazing. Yeah. And what was your crowd?
It was a mix. It was the regular bike activists, but there were a lot of people that came all the way from Whistler and North Vancouver. And
people brought their relatives.
Brought
to
their
see
relatives.
It.
And what's that other country called? White Rock. Like, they came all over just to see this, and it was very exciting to see how many people across BC understood what you were talking about—the connection between between things like consumerism, the environment, social problems like wars and. And we're going to play that a little later.
I think it's exciting to have you guys in the same studio. I think that's really interesting because you're coming at things from somewhat related angles. And I was just reading today a piece called Santa Claus is Chinese, or Santa Claus Must Be from China, I think it was called. And it's all about how like 70% of the things that people are going to be giving each other this year were manufactured in China. 70% of them, and you know, this is a country with terrible human rights abuses that we all know about, but people just continue to do it out of, I don't know if it's out of habit or if it's out of not just willfully not understanding what's going on. I'm curious to know what, and this is maybe to both you guys, what connection you think consumerism has to do with the end of the world.
Well, first, the first part, me and Frank have been doing stuff for a while together, and hopefully you'll be showing some of your pieces again at the next Velo Fusion party.
I'd love to. I'm a whore. Just give me a screen and I'll give you my footage. So.
That sounds fair. We've got a screen for you. And yeah, there's a lot of connections. Well, I kind of almost wrote a book on this. But there's a deeper element to the whole equation, and that's what happens to countries that devote so much of their labor and production effort to producing things like iPods and gadgets and Barbie dolls. Yes, 70% of all the stuff is coming from China, and a lot of people are going, wow, the Chinese economy is growing so big, we better try and compete with them. But they're not looking at the consequences mm-hmm. of what's happening in China. For example, cancer rates are now the number one killer in China. It wasn't like that before. Pollution rates are insane. Beijing is one of the most polluted cities in the world. The industrial mess that they've created, those things are they're not possible. If the China economy continues to grow at 12%, which is where it's been growing at for the last few years, just think of the resources it'll be using. They calculate by at that rate, by 10 years' time, they'll be producing, I think, $95 billion barrels of oil a year, which is 6 billion more than the world can produce. the environmental consequences are just not possible.
Yeah, and I think those are the types of connections that we gotta, like, it, for us that produce media, we gotta keep on hammering, because it, not to be alarmist, but you almost kind of have to be. We're running out of time, and there's only so much of this world. This is the only world we have to live. We cannot bank on, like, NASA building another planet for us. We gotta make it work here. And we got to scale back our lifestyle dramatically.
I think one of the most important things is to do it in a positive way. You can't be like running around, the end is nigh, the end is nigh.
Well, people don't want to listen to it, and it's not sustainable for them. It tires them out. So it doesn't enable them to
continue. That's why what we do is we try to do it in a positive way. What you have to do is show people a solution. You can't just say that there's a huge problem, you have to say. So one of the solutions I've been trying to work on and show that what we need to do is start promoting activities like music, art, family, culture, things that are good for people and good for the planet. It's kind of, and the analogy is that miserable people in their cars heading off to work where they make a huge amount of consumer goods that land up in landfills.
So they can buy more.
They're not that happy. They're supporting a $24 billion antidepressant industry. Whereas when you scale back the work week, and people have more time for other things, you not only create a reduced environmental footprint, but you create happier people. Reduce the work week. That's where most of my work goes in, and Church of Pointless Consumerism, and the movies that are coming out.
And the good news is that drivers sitting in their cars looking miserable isn't actually that attractive. It's not an attractive alternative for people. And when you show them I think a lot of times people just don't know what else to do. It's kind of like, you know, if you can illustrate for people in a meaningful way and in a welcoming way that there's a place for them there too, if they so wish, then it's very,
very
inspiring.
Very important. You can't draw the line in the sand between us and them. You have to invite everybody over. You have to say, hey guys, this is a lot of fun. Getting involved in community, doing stuff, being creative, making movies, doing art, enjoying company, sharing. You have to present that as a real solution. You do that
and a pragmatic solution. I think a lot of people think that these things are really hippy dippy and all this, but actually it has tangible health benefits. It has tangible societal benefits. It lowers the crime rate. It makes people more productive. Mm-hmm. Happy workers are productive workers. But at the same time, you don't have to be producing goods. You can be producing love and community. And
that's why, and reduce the industrial work week.
wait a minute. Franklin.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, sorry.
So what do you think, I'm curious to know, well, either if you have any thoughts about what we've been babbling on about, or if you think, if you'd like to kind of throw in some solutions that you think that people can do, either incremental solutions or bigger things that people can do to kind of involve themselves in an anti-inertia process or a...
You know, I think that the first thing that people should do, and this is a challenge, and this is very, very easy to do, and you can do it today, is you can actually leave your house and go to the right or to the left or up and down, depending if you live in a condo, and knock on your neighbor's door and just say, hi, my name is X or Y, and I'm your neighbor, and I've been living here 5 years, and I've never met you, And just start with that. I mean, that's so simple, and people don't even think that's important, but you don't understand how important that is. We live in a world of amazing isolation, and we need to start, like, breaking out of that. And you might find that your neighbor has a lot more in common with you than you think. Or maybe your neighbor is really annoying, but, you know, there's only one way to find out. And the TV is not reciprocating anything with you, any communication or anything like that, which your neighbor might. Or you might be able to ask for that, you know, cup of sugar or that cup of milk or soy milk or whatever you drink. And just feel like a little more secure in your street, you know.
That's lovely. Yeah. That reminds me of the movie The Winking Circle, which...
I've seen it.
Yeah, and there's this great thing where they kind of build all this stuff on the front of their lawn, like a barbecue pit, and they kind of come out and they build all these things where they're actually spending a lot of time on their front lawn and they're living in suburbia. And what hopefully, you know, that is an invitation to people around, and so we can do a lot of small... That's a lovely... I think that's beautiful. And I know that you quit... you fired your car a year ago.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that was one thing that you did, and I noticed, I watched your, by the way, if people go to the Pedal Revolutionary website, pedalrev.blogspot.com, you can see a link to Franklin's website, submediatv.com. Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or submedia.tv takes you to the same place.
Okay. And in episode one, you talk about, getting rid of your car, and I'm curious to know what that's been like for you, because there's maybe some cyclists out there listening, one or two.
It was the best thing I've done. It has been, like, the best thing I've done in a long time. It's been actually over a year. My wife and I were living in Atlanta, and Atlanta is a total car-centric city. And both my wife and I drove cars. I mean, even though I drove a recycled vegetable oil vehicle, it was still a pain in the butt. You got to find parking. You got to pay insurance. And you got to drive everywhere in Atlanta. There's hardly any sidewalks anywhere.
Really? They've just given up.
I mean, they're trying to change now, but the city's like a big sprawling metropolis. It's just like very, very, very wide. It's not very dense. And when we decided to move to Vancouver, we said, we're going to get rid of our cars, period. And we sold both of them, and we brought bikes over here. And that's been it. Like, we don't even think about it. The only time we really need a vehicle is when we're moving residences. But that's about it.
What are some changes that you've noticed personally?
Oh, my health. I quit smoking. That was one of the byproducts of this. It's like I felt like I couldn't go up a hill if I was smoking. So riding my bicycle and the want to be completely self-sufficient in terms of my transportation made me quit smoking. So my health has improved. I've lost weight. And I feel like I want to get out more. Like, I work from home, and I'm always in front of the computer. That's basically my work reality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to, even if it's just to do a short little errand or something, I just really... My legs are asking me to, like, pedal. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what role you think the bicycle will have in, or what role it has in resistance.
It's
and subversion.
Huge.
Okay.
It's huge, and people might not realize it, but, you know, you're not buying petroleum. You're not buying, maybe in the record, you're not buying gasoline every day. And you know, you might be saying no to war just by riding your bike, and you might not even know that you're doing that. But that is amazing.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you if you had anything to say to cyclists out there and to drivers.
Oh man, I feel like I'm about to get into a bike accident like every day. I've made a concerted effort to stay on the map that says, you know, this is the street for bikes, you know. Mm-hmm. And people just get so impatient. So I mean, the drivers out there just need to, like, relax a little bit and, you know that there's somebody there who's using their own legs to move, and they might not move as fast as you do, or, you know, or choose another route. You know, and don't choose the bike streets, because the bike streets are going to be full of cyclists. And what I tell the cyclists is, like, don't let the rain keep you down. It's only water. You're not going to die.
It's not acid.
Yeah, it's not acid. So
one other last thing, maybe. I know we're going to go on and listen to the Church of Pointless Consumerism, which is very exciting and was a great show. And by the way, Conrad, I didn't tell you, I almost peed during that show.
I'm kind of sad.
I didn't?
Yeah, I was really hoping somebody in the audience would pee. We had a scale. We were hoping that some people would cry.
People cried. People told me they lost their composure.
Yeah, my friend Osha said she almost cried.
Yeah, and I know that another friend of mine totally bawled in a couple of parts, especially the end. But there was a dance party after, though. If you have people peeing, then people will be slipping, you'll be lawsuits, and the workless party is not an entity that should be sued. But one thing I wanted to ask you just in closing, I know that you're starting a couple new projects, and I wanted to ask you kind of what Submedia is, because I looked at the website, and I understand that you're the founder, a founder?
Yeah, I'm the founder. How can I do this quickly without taking too much time?
No, take your time.
Submedia, it was originally called Subversive Media, and it came out of the need, at least what I thought was the need, to tell the story of marijuana. And at the time, this is like 1993, Somebody gave me Jack Herer's book about The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And that was my first initial introduction into what's called underground or independent media, whatever. And I was just so excited by this prospect that there was an alternate history to a plant that I really much enjoyed at the time, that and nobody knew about it, that I decided to make a film about this. And it ended up being an informational CD-ROM with music or whatever. But long story long, it was born out of the need to create more independent media. So I created this vehicle for independent media, and a lot of different filmmakers through the years, mostly in Atlanta, have come to, have gone through submedia to either do film screenings or to put their films on the website or just to collaborate in film projects. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just an abstraction. It's a vehicle. Not to give myself a name, this is like Frank Lopez's thing. This is just like its own little organism.
Yeah, you are very hidden in there. That's why I had to do a lot of digging to figure out that you were the founder. But also, I know that you put out a call for people to send in footage, if they have video footage, of Critical Mass.
Yeah.
So where should they send that?
Absolutely. They should email me, bike@submedia.tv. There's many different ways to get that to me electronically where you don't have to like spend any money on postage or anything like that.
Okay.
So if you have a video camera and, you know, if you're listening in San Francisco or in Budapest or anywhere, just get at me and show me what your critical massing is like.
Nice. And I know you did I have this book here. It's put out by Crime Think. It's called Days of War, Nights of Love. And we were talking a bit about positive things that people can do. And one of the maybe recommendations that would come from this book and from a film that you made would be to fall in love.
Oh my God.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you in love, Franklin?
Oh my God, I've been in love for over 5 years now.
Wow. Yeah. How's it going? Yeah, the world seems different than it did 5 years ago.
God, man, I'm telling you, I think that people need to, even if they're not in love now, people need to remember what that was like, because I think that in terms of knowing what it's like to be free and not care what anybody thinks, just because you're a little bit more irresponsible than you are, and you know you're more willing to go a little bit crazy, I think people need to take that into their everyday life, and maybe not just fall in love with a person, but fall in love with what they do or whatever their passion is in life. You know, I think that the passions are very much stumped upon in our society, and we need to like learn what it's like to reignite those things. So
bicycle announcements.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, thank you very much, Franklin, for coming in. That's lovely. Please hang out with us while we listen to
it. It's always exciting to have you back in Vancouver and on the show.
And so maybe we'll show some of his stuff at VeloFusion, which is going to be at Critical Mass, which is on the last Friday of the month, as always. This month it's December the 29th. Should be a kind of a nice, smaller, kind of, it'll be a retro mass. It'll be kind of like what it used to be like, you know, back in the days when you'd have like 50 people. Now we get a few hundred. But that's, of course, going to be starting at the Vancouver Art Gallery. We meet on the 29th at 5:30. We'll be riding at 6 o'clock, bring your bike. We'll be going family speed. Don't worry if you don't have a race bike. And we'll be just doing kind of a nice group ride safely through downtown rush hour traffic. Afterwards, of course, will be the VeloFusion party, which is at the Anza Club, which is on the bike route, the Ontario bike route, at around, what is it, 5th? You'll see a whole big pile of bikes out front. And who's performing this month, Conrad?
Actually, this is really exciting. We got C.R. Avery playing, which is one of my favorites, and a band called E. Spliff. So it should be a real rocking party.
Nice. Also, we have the Midnight Mass bike ride for the Night Owls. That's going to be coming up on the 28th of December. And that meets on the east side, Commercial Drive at Grandview Park, which is about Commercial and Charles. Might want to pack bike lights and something warm to drink. And that is going to meet at 11:45, and it'll ride at midnight. Also, the critical mass coming up is the Solstice Mass, which is quite lovely. And let's see. I mean, I know a lot of people are kind of out there running around. I'd like to ask everybody to please be careful on the roads. There's a lot of distracted drivers out there who have a lot of in-laws in town. So please watch yourselves and watch out for slippery roads and take care of each other. And we will talk to you next year.
the last Friday of the month, the territorial mating call of the indigenous local cyclists is heard echoing through downtown Vancouver. Thousands of cyclists have once again reclaimed the streets in scared, belligerent motorists. But now, you wonder what is next. The night is still young, and you're feeling a little frisky. After all, there are only so many car tires you can peel in a day. Well, we have the solution. Velofusion Bicycle Dance Party. Burlesque, bands, dancing, DJs, and pirated movies. The last Friday of the month after critical mass. Come one, come all for a little primal rowdiness.
Hi, my name is
Doors open at 7:30 p.m.
You're about to listen to
the Answer Club.
Extravaganza from the church, conscious consumerism. We've been working on this play day, night, and even weekends for a full year now. So if you like the play, please feel free to vote for us in the next election. And if you don't like the play, please feel free to vote for us in the next election. In the beginning, I created heaven and earth. On the first day, I said, let there be light in the darkness, and there was light. On the second day, I created the sky. On the third day, I created land, the seas and plants. On the fourth day, I created the sun, moon, and stars. On the fifth day, I created fish and birds. On the sixth day, I created animals and then man in my own image. On the seventh day, I rested. And when I woke up from my nap, you guys had turned the whole place into a giant bloody parking lot. What the hell were you thinking?
And now, are you ready to profit? Are you ready to purchase? Ladies and gentlemen and economic dependents of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth, the Church of Pointless Consumerism, a religious musical extravaganza dedicated to worshiping superfluous spending and idolizing pointless possessions. And now, here he is, the man you've all been waiting for, currently on a world tour of North America, Peter Prophet, the Prophet of Prophets!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
And sisters, let's give it up for the ka-ching, bling bling singers and dancers! And now, I want you all to meet my lovely assistant, the alluring, the elegant, the ever resplendent Ivana Spendmore!
Thank you. Don't forget to visit our gift shop after the show. We have Church of Pointless Consumerism mugs, t-shirts. We have bumper stickers and CDs. Get all your Christmas shopping done tonight.
Thank you, Ivana. Now, brothers and sisters, I will read a passage from the Holy Book of Bottom Line. Let's see. Yes. Here we are, Deuteronomy 7:16. O money, let us not succumbeth to temptation in all its unholy forms. The temptation to barter, without you acting as the intermediary. Nay, let us fill it the valleys between your subjects with your holy middlemen, that all may addeth cost and taketh profit.
Temptation may lead us to the sin of sharing, but it is far, far better for the economy, for all to possesseth their own chainsaws, lawnmowers, leaf blowers.
I got three leaf blowers.
And patio furniture. Temptation may lead us to judgeth an item for its innate worth rather than its market value. But everyone knoweth that the proper logo increaseth an item's value 2, 3, even fourfold, my brothers and sisters.
Bring me the logo.
Yes, oh money, let us find that true and perfect symbol so that it may spread across the earth. Oh money, thing of things, let us commodify every interaction, every exchange, that nothing will ever occur without your holy presence.
Amen.
Now what this book here says, brothers and sisters, is that money is all powerful.
Yes!
It is the greatest thing in the universe. Miracle of miracles, thing of things. And it doesn't stop at simple cash on hand, brothers and sisters. No, see this puny plastic card? Smaller than any bill. Smaller than a $1 bill, even. But its value is whatever you need it to be. Whatever you want it to be. Whatever the blessed credit card company desires it to be.
Hallelujah!
Oh, miracle of miracles is credit in all its consecrated forms. Praise money!
Praise money!
But the credit card companies can't do it on their own, brothers and sisters. They need us. They need all of us to use our cards.
Yes.
And not just one. As many cards as you can. Let them multiply as the stars in the heavens. Now doesn't that excite you?
Oh,
I know I'm starting to get excited. I'm starting to get that jingle jangle, that clickety clack in my pockets.
Let me hear
y'all testify. Praise money.
Praise money.
Now help me out. Show your money. Wave your wad in the air.
Yes, buddy.
If you got cards, if you got cash, don't be shy. Be proud. Be proud, brothers and sisters. And sing with me now. Sing with me now.
This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend. This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend. This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend. Let it spend. Let it spend. Let it spend. This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend. This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend,
baby.
This little card's my friend. I'm gonna let it spend. Let it spend. Let it spend. Let it spend.
Now I'm starting to feel the spirit coming over me. It's washing all over my body. Do you feel the spirit of prophet?
I'm feeling it.
That's right. The golden vault in the sky is going to open, and we are all going to get rich tonight. Who wants to testify?
I do.
Me.
Now tonight in the audience, I know we have people who are suffering. People whose relationship with the almighty money has turned sour.
Shameful.
People who are broke. People with bad credit. People who cannot get any action on a Friday night for lack of a sufficiently sexy automobile. That's right. I hear your brother over there who cannot afford the installment plan at United Furniture Warehouse. I feel your pain. And I can feel
the pain
of someone in this room right now.
Why me?
It's a woman. I can feel it. You, sister. It's you in the front row. Tell us your name, sister.
Oh, I'm so ashamed. My name is Henrietta Guinevere.
And sister, what is troubling you?
Well, it was like this. Oh, it's sinful what happened to me. I could just die. And my poor sister Arlene had to witness it all. I'm just so ashamed.
Go on, Henrietta. Talk to me like I'm your banker.
Well, I just could not afford to go to Aruba. First class!
Oh, shame.
Now, Henrietta. Shame. Henrietta, I will heal you. In the name of the Holy Spirit of Prophet, I thereby double. No! I triple your credit card spending limit.
Yes.
Economy class, be gone.
Praise,
yes.
Praise money.
Oh, praise,
praise money. Praise money. If that isn't a blow of defeat for bankruptcy right there. Now, who else wants to testify?
I do.
Who else wants to testify?
I do.
Poverty. Now, what is your name, sir?
Buster. Buster Guy.
Nice to meet you, Buster.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Prophet. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you, Buster. Now, what ails you tonight?
Well, it's like this, Mr. Prophet. I lost my job 3 years ago when they closed the plant. Mm. My kids are starving. I can't look at my wife in the eye anymore.
Oh, Buster. Oh, Buster, there is a place for people like you. A place where you can earn a respectable income. You will travel the world. Eat exotic food, stay in shape, make some new friends, and maybe even kill some more. Do you want to go there, Buster?
Yes, Mr. Prophet. I want to go there.
Now, in the name of the Holy Spirit of Prophet, I thereby cast aside the shadow of poverty and bestow upon you a new lifestyle. Okay, now, Buster, I need you to repeat after me, because you're going to the army now. Come on. Come on now.
I don't know, but I've been told.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Afghanistan never gets cold.
Afghanistan never gets cold.
Well, I don't know, but I have heard.
I don't know, but I have heard.
The pacifist's a dirty word.
Pacifist's a dirty word.
Well, I don't know, but I will say.
I don't know, but I will say.
I'd rather die than be ashamed.
I'd rather die than be ashamed.
One, two, three, four.
Everyone.
One, two, three, four. I don't know, but I've been told.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Afghanistan never gets cold.
Afghanistan never gets cold.
I said, I don't know, but I have heard.
Everybody.
I don't know, but I have heard.
The pacifist's a dirty word.
Pacifist's a dirty word.
I said, I don't know, but I will say.
I don't know, but I will say.
I'd rather die than be ashamed.
I'd rather die than be ashamed.
One. One, two, three, four.
Take this gun. Take this helmet. These are the weapons of capitalism. Now, Buster, repeat after me. Buster, go forth and rain down democracy on fascists, terrorists, communists, and hippies. And now for something very special.
We love you, Buster!
There is one thing in this world that I love almost as much as consumerism. And that is my dear daughter, fruit of my loins and queen of my wallet, Brittany Prophet. Now, she accompanies me on tour and really sings like an angel. And at this point in the show, she likes to do her own segment. She likes to call Brittany's Shopping Beat Sang. Well, she will fill you in on some shopping tips and fashion trends to get you all ready for this holiday season. And without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Brittany Prophet and Brittany Shopping Beat.
Okay, actually, Dad, as I've said before, I prefer to be introduced as Veggie Loaf Prophet. So, hi, everybody. I'm Veggie Loaf, and welcome to Veggie Loaf's segment of the show.
We love you, Veggie Loaf.
Okay, so, well, First, I have a couple of quick shopping tips. Well, I have one here. It's a handing tip for finding your car in the parking lot. Okay, I mean, attach a fun little thing to the end of your antenna, and like from a ping pong ball to a finger puppet. This addition is really something to help you set your car apart from the rest. It's fun. It's fun to do, and it helps to personalize your automobile. Okay, well, for the rest of the segment, I was actually hoping to change the name to Veggie Love's Original Poetry Corner.
What?
This is a poem that I just wrote with my boyfriend, Chickweed Monkey Flower. It's called...
Brittany.
And yeah, it's called The Discontent of a Naked Nightingale. In a shimmering puddle, a somber nightingale glances its own reflection. She is giving birth to a new nation. And as the migration of a melancholy butterfly signals the end of globalization, I feel that...
That's great. Thanks, Brittany. And let's all give it up. Brittany, shopping beat.
Dad.
Okay, time's up, Brittany.
That was never 5 minutes, Dad.
Oh, it was, thanks. So we're all looking forward to more shopping tips in the future with Brittany Prophet.
You don't understand, Dad. I don't want to do shopping tips anymore. I'm bored of doing shopping tips. I want to read my original poetry. I want to do Veggie Loaf's Poetry Corner, and that's it.
Now, honey, you know what? I love you. I would buy you anything, but your original poetry has nothing to do with capitalism now, does it?
Yes, it does, Dad. And I was talking about the end of globalization and free trade and...
Well, honey, you don't know what those big words mean. I mean, if you did, you would understand that they're good things for you and for me and for everybody.
I don't think so. I was reading it in ad buses.
That's blasphemy, Brittany. Now, there's your problem right there. How can you trust a magazine without any ads in it? Ads are our primary source of information. I mean, what would we do in the bus or before movies or in between TV shows without ads? How would we know what to eat, what to wear, what to think without commercial contributions in our life?
Just don't understand.
Now, luckily, I have a song that fits perfectly at this moment.
Gotta think what the media says, think. You gotta think what the media says, think. Oh, what the media says, think. Gotta think and believe. Gotta think what the media says, think. You gotta buy what your TV says, buy. You gotta buy what your TV says, buy. Oh, what your TV says, buy. Gotta buy right away. Gotta buy what your TV says, buy. You gotta march when the crowd says march. You gotta march when the crowd says march. Oh, when the crowd march, gotta march blindfully. Gotta march when the crowd says march. You gotta read what Oprah says, read. You gotta read what Oprah says, read. Oh, what Oprah says, read. Gotta read and enjoy. Gotta read what Oprah says, read. Gotta think what the media says, think. You gotta think what the media says, think. Oh, what the media says, think. Gotta think and believe. Gotta think what the media says, think.
Okay, now let's get back on track. All right, I'm starting to feel it. I'm back in the prophet hot seat. I'm insider trading with God tonight. Who else is feeling it? Who wants to testify?
I would.
Who else wants to testify?
Peter, I would, if you don't mind hearing the sorrows of an old man.
Of course, brother. Now, the free market economy doesn't care if you are old or young, if you are white or black, mm-hmm. if you are gay or straight. We are all consumers here. Money is blind.
Oh, well, so am I, Peter. Nearly, anyway. And my hips are pretty shot, too, and my spleen and my liver. And oh, Lord, I got problems from ass to breakfast, Peter.
I hear you, brother. What is your name?
Oh, my name's Chesterfield. George Chesterfield.
And tell me your woes, George. Tell them to me.
Well, it's like this. I worked my whole life in a coal mine, and God, I must have dug my way to China and back. Well, I'm too old to work now, and I retired with no pension, and I don't have any Medicare either on account of being a recovering alcoholic, And my wife, she done left me years ago. I can't blame her, really. God, I was a sinning man. I can't blame her for leaving me. And my kids never call me anymore. And, God, by the time I seen the error of my ways, it was too late, you know? I just screwed up, I guess. But now I need me a liver transplant, and I can't afford that on welfare. Can you help me, Peter? Can you help an old man?
With George Chesterfield, tonight is your lucky night. Because that is the beauty of capitalism. It does not leave anyone behind.
Even me.
Even the most wretched and loathsome man that capitalism me. Can save. That's you, brother. I know. Now, we can save this man. But I need you to believe. I need you to believe, George.
Well, I believe,
and
yes.
I need everyone in the church tonight to believe. I want everyone to help me now. Repeat after me. I believe.
I believe.
Say it louder now. I believe.
I believe.
In the spirit.
In the spirit.
In the spirit.
Of holy prophet.
Of holy prophet.
I feel salvation coming for this man. I can feel it. I hear salvation coming. In fact, I can see salvation coming. That's right. I see it coming right down the center aisle. Thank you very much, Ivana. Now, sir, let go of your crutches and grab on to your salvation. Every one of these bottles in this shopping cart is bringing you 5 cents closer to your liver transplant, George. The free market economy helps those who help themselves, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much. I'll never forget you. Bye.
Now, who else wants to testify? We're feeling the spirit tonight. Who else wants to testify to profit? Now, that brings me to my next topic. One that my daughter Brittany neglected to mention entirely in her shopping tips section when she was supposed to. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is the importance of buying things for yourself.
What about sharing, Dad? What's so bad about sharing?
My wayward and rebellious daughter.
You sometimes seem so completely obsessed with money. Like, completely obsessed, Dad.
And what is wrong with that, my dear Vegemite?
It's Veggie Loaf, Dad, and there's more to life than just money.
At the Church of Pointless Consumerism, we only believe in money. Haven't you heard? Money makes the world go round. The world go round. The world go round.
What about friends, Dad?
They cost money.
Family?
More money. They cost even more money.
The environment.
Big money there. Brothers and sisters, you all know my stocks in solar panels are going through the roof.
Dolphins?
Now, we all know that dolphins wish they had money. In scientific communities, they say that dolphins are the only other species on this earth to use money for pleasure. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Huh?
This is, like, totally wrong, Dad. Totally
wrong. Brittany, get back here. Brittany, get back here.
I'm leaving.
Let us not stray from the flock of fortune, as my daughter Brittany has done. Let us pray for our lost daughter. All rise, and let us say the banker's prayer together. Our money, who art in Switzerland, hallowed be thy interest rates. Thy kingdom is mine. Give us today our daily profits, so we can afford rising energy costs. Forgive us our bad investments, as we await a bull market and collect from our debtors. Lead us into free market globalization, and deliver us from unions.
Our money.
Our money. Brothers and sisters, a new day is coming. I see a new age on the horizon. A day when the trees cluttering up our landscape give way to fields of concrete, acres and acres of asphalt. I tell you, gone are the days of circling for hours trying to find a parking spot. Verily I say unto you, no longer will you spend hours in traffic jams, for the day is coming, and coming soon, when you will be able to drive or park on any and every square inch of our great creation. Today, a meridian cluttered with trees blocks your way. You can't find a parking spot, and it causes you problems. Tomorrow, you will park where that cumbersome lawn is. You will drive past any road obstruction, because to the left or to the right, there will be endless roads, all leading to one final heavenly destination, the mall. That's right! The people of the world will soon be at one, brothers and sisters, at one in our great global parking lot.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Folks, it looks like we are experiencing some minor technical difficulties with the system. Nothing to worry about. We have the world's greatest economists working out the bugs as we speak. The military-industrial complex, I assure you, brothers and sisters, will be up and running and save us before you know it. It will be new and improved with 30% more democracy. Kind of blew up on us. Now don't be getting all scared and everything. The thing to do at a time like this is to not panic and to make sure to invest in gold. I know some of you will be saying things like, I told you this would happen, Peter Prophet, but this is no time for looking backwards. Now there is some good news. We have planned for this eventuality and have built a space ark. We can take two of everybody. Two zillionaires. Two billionaires, two lowly millionaires, six butlers, or you could say three pairs of two butlers, two maids, two French chefs, one sushi chef, and one missionary position, which I will be filling. And for the rest of you, including my daughter, Lentil Stew, there is more good news because we are throwing a going-away end-of-the-world party, and you are all invited!
The dance commanders are ready to sin. Radio message from HQ. Dance commander, we love you. Let's get this party started right, y'all. Let's get this party started right. I went to the store to get more fire to start the war. Everybody in this club is whack. I feel like I'm headed straight for a heart attack. Girls are pretty, girls are nice. Take your chances, roll the dice. We'll be right back.
Death on Thursday of its authoritarian leader, Saparmurat Niyazov. In Moscow, Konstantin Zatulin, the director of the Institute of the Commonwealth States, said that anything might now be possible.
In order to hold state power, some things from the old regime will be necessary in order to re-establish a dictatorship, but without Niyazov. This might lead to some disagreement, and this may also lead to the interference of external forces who might not be interested in the stability of Turkmenistan, considering its huge role as an energy source and its supply of natural gas. All this is possible.
There have been fierce gun battles in Gaza City between supporters of the governing Hamas movement and members of a local clan. The clashes broke out near the home of the Hamas foreign minister, Mahmoud al-Zahar. Mediators are trying to end the fighting, which is said to have died down. BBC World News.
You're listening to World Briefing from the BBC with Michael Poles. Eight US Marines now stand charged in connection with the deaths of 24 civilians in the Iraqi town of Haditha last year.